One of the key words in God's conversation with Abraham in Genesis 17 is the word give. For example, in verse 2, in the New King James Version, it is translated as, I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. However, the word translated there as make is actually give. The word is Nathan, which is a Hebrew word, which is Strong's number 5414, for those who want to look it up. Now, if we change this word to give in the English, which is the more correct meaning, then God's conversation with Abraham, recorded in verse 1 to 8, would actually read as follows. I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will give my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have given you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will give nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. We find the same word, Nathan, meaning give, in verses 16 and 20. Verse 16, And I will bless her, speaking of Sarah, and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be from her. Verse 20, And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will give him a great nation. Give, 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 give. This whole covenant, because it's between God and God, every benefit of this covenant that any human being receives is a gift. There's nothing they can do to earn it. Abraham could not earn this covenant. You and I, we cannot earn the covenant. There's no way we can pay it. Abraham couldn't pay for a son to become a father of nations. Everything was a gift. Nothing was earned by their labor. Nothing was bought by anybody's money, because it's not something that's within our power. It's completely out of our reach. Now, in verse 5 and verse 15, something very exciting happened. God changed both of their names. Abram became Abraham, and Sarai became Sarah. Genesis 17 verse 5 in the New King James Version says, No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. Verse 15 says, Then God said to Abraham, As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. God changed both Abram and Sarai's names. This is very important for two reasons. Number one, he was changing their identities. Number two, God was giving them part of his own name in an exchange of names. Let's look at that first point. God changed their identities. Abram means high or exalted father. And God changed it to Abraham, which means father of a great multitude. Sarai means she that strives. And God changed it to Sarah, which means princess. In order to understand the relevance of God changing the names, we must bear in mind that names, in a way very similar to clothing, represented the identity of an individual. And if you look at their names and you read about them, you realize, for example, looking at Sarah, that up to this time Sarah had been someone who strived. She was barren, she was unable to have children. Her best laid plans had ended up a disaster, as Hagar had turned against her. When God changed their names, he was enlarging Abraham's vision and expectancy. At the same time, God did something very special and deep inside of Sarah, because he changed her from a woman who strived into a princess. Okay, now let's look at the aspect about exchanging names. God changed their names to give them a new identity, but he also exchanged names with them. When a couple gets married today, it's the custom of the bride to take the bridegroom's last name or surname. That's just part of the covenant ritual. Remember, your name represents your identity. So when you take that person's name, you're taking their identity. The two are becoming one. And when God changed Abram's name to Abraham and Sarah's name to Sarah, he actually inserted part of his own name into their names. You see, the Hebrew word for Lord, which is used in verses 1, 6, and 7 of Genesis 15, is Jehovah or Yahweh in the English. Actually, the Hebrew for Jehovah has no vowels, because Hebrew has no vowels. And so it would look like J-H-V-H. And then the other thing is, actually there's no J sound in Hebrew either. So Yahweh is really the more correct word to use in English. Without the vowels, that would be spelt Y-H-W-H. Do you see the predominant letter in that is an H? The main letter in God's name is H. Now look at Abraham and Sarah, and you will see that when God changed their names, he inserted an H into both of their names. God put the predominant letter of his own name into both Abraham and Sarah's names. So you might say, yes, but that's the English, and the Bible was written in Hebrew. Yes, that is true. And the cool thing about this is it works exactly the same way in both the English and the Hebrew. God put the predominant letter of his own name into both Abraham and Sarah's names when he changed their names. Glory to God. But it doesn't even stop there. Because to complete the exchange of names, God took Abraham's name into his own. From that point on, he was no longer only called God or the Lord. Instead, he was called the God of Abraham. Then, after the next generation accepted the covenant, he was known as the God of Abraham and Isaac. And after Jacob entered into covenant with God, God was then known as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And to this day, he is often still called the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I love the way that the Amplified Bible brings this out so clearly. In Hebrews 11, verse 16, the second part of this verse says, God is not ashamed to be called their God, even to be surnamed their God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God takes the name of those whom he is in covenant with. Think about it. Today, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is also called the God of whatever your name is. He is called the God of your name. And because of our covenant with God, the name of Jesus is ours today as well. When Jesus rose from the dead, he gave the disciples what is called the Great Commission. I'm going to read from Mark 16, verse 15 to 18. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues, and they will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." In essence, Jesus was saying, use my name so that my will can be done on this earth. Because you're in covenant with God, whenever you do something in the name of Jesus, it is the same as if Jesus himself was doing it. That same commission that Jesus gave his disciples 2,000 years ago is your and my commission today. Thank you very much. This has been great. See you next time. Bye for now.